Uno más.
Mas Exodus.
That's tomorrow, right?
Uno Mas Exodus. Hi, everybody. It's
related to Mas Jobrani?
Yes. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi. Nice to see all of you. Welcome to the show. It's the bonus hour. It's the stream of consciousness. It's anything can happen. And I'm going to prove that right now because I've saved a story, Wendy, that we could not do on regular radio. But here on the stream...
I have a feeling I know what it
anything
is.
Anything we want.
Does it involve this kind of singing?
It could. Yes, it could. This is, you know, you and I were both fans of Kathy and Judy. And remember they used to have a sex day of the week? Do you remember that?
Wednesdays?
Was it Sex Thursdays or Wednesdays? I think it was Thursdays. Sex Thursday sounds right to me.
Doesn't sound, it should be Sex Saturday.
Well, you could also have sex on, you could have sex any day of the week now.
It was forbidden on other days before.
For a while, when President Coolidge was in office... You can only have sex twice a week because of the war. But now you can have sex every day of the week if you like.
You say because of the war for everything, and I love it. It's pretty funny.
You know why, right?
Because of Thomas Jefferson?
I do that because my grandmother used to say that. Well, I think a lot of people's grandmothers would say that. Anytime you'd question anything, your grandparents' job was to go, well, we had to do it that way because of the war.
Right.
And as a kid, you'd go, oh, yeah.
It was always an excuse.
The war. Like, for anything. You can't throw a lemon at a guy. Why can't you throw a... Because of the war.
Why are there patches on your suit coat jacket?
Because of the war, Wendy. You know.
It does work.
They had to save the material that they would normally use. They would put a patch there, and then they would send that material to soldiers during the war. As a kid, you go, oh.
You do believe it. It does make sense. It's, you know, who's going to argue with because of the war?
Right.
Really explain
Seems
it to
disrespectful.
Me.
Disrespectful.
Right.
Seems like you're disrespecting the soldiers and the flag. And Kaiser Wilhelm. So here's the story. And yes, too racy for regular radio. Apparently now they have invented a vibrator that can order a pizza for you after you're done with your fun.
I do it during because then when
you call
it's
it
over,
you call it
yeah,
in right during?
Then, you know, 30 minutes or less. Ding dong.
Ding dong is right. An adult entertainment company.
Oh, I just got that one after looking at Jasmine's face. You are really blue on the stream.
On the stream, you're allowed to be blue. A regular radio, you got to temper that. But here, anything goes. An adult entertainment company has come out with a new sex toy that's really saucy.
Oh, my God.
You know why that's upsetting to me? Last night, my wife and I are watching a show, and they're telling the story. Again, this can only be done on this part of the show, on the stream. I couldn't say this downstairs, but I can say this upstairs. They're telling the story about how Gwyneth Paltrow has some beauty company now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this?
She's had it.
Is it called...
Goop?
Goop. It's called... Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called Goop. So their latest innovation... and I will get back to the vibrator that orders a pizza.
Thank God.
After this.
Because, you know, I didn't get all I wanted for my birthday.
All right. So they're telling the story about how Goop and Gwyneth Paltrow have this company, and they're always coming out with new ideas. Some of it's skin creams, some of it's moisturizers, some of it's various utensils having to do with beauty. And their latest project is, and I guess this has existed before, but I don't know. It's the coffee enema. Do you know about this? So my wife and I each come up, I say to my wife, let's have a contest and see who can come up with the best name for a coffee enema, because coffee enema sounds, to me, that sounds very negative. What would you name it?
Starbucks.
Oh, is that good? That's so good. Starbucks is really good. I'm so happy with that.
Thank you.
Can I tell you what Terry's was, and then I'll tell you what mine was? Hers was Joe Blow.
All right, that's good.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Mine was Crappuccino.
I like that, too.
They're all three are good.
I'd say we put them in a hat and pick one.
Yeah.
Can't lose on any of those.
Hey, Jazz, see if you can get Gwyneth Paltrow. We have three ideas we want to run past her.
She has some other sexual thing, too. Let's just say insertables. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, really?
I think that's part of her deal, too.
Are those like Crunchables?
I'm not talking to you
snack
anymore.
Snack food? They couldn't have those during the war, Wendy. Because of the war.
Yeah, I know.
Because of the war. All right, so the adult entertainment industry, Starbucks, is really funny. An adult entertainment company has come out with a new sex toy that's really saucy. It's a vibrator that orders pizza after your orgasm. Can I say that? I hope so. On Thursday morning, adult entertainment company Cam Soda introduced the Rub Grub. Is that the best name for that? I don't know if it is.
It's dirty.
It's an interactive vibrator that orders...
Interactive, yeah. Inner or inter?
Interactive. That orders food after you're done using it for its original purpose. According to a press release, this diddle and dine device...
Oh, my God.
Says it in the story, Wendy. Comes with an internet-connected button. Button, button. Who's got the button? On one end that is similar to the button on the Amazon Dash Wand. Is that something I should know what it is? Because I don't. The Amazon Dash Wand? Is that for your, what is that for? I don't know what that is.
Jasmine, what
Jasmine,
is it?
Jasmine, is that something we should know?
I have no idea.
All right.
No
and idea. Even if you did, would you admit to it?
No.
Nope. Wise move. Once a person programs their payment, delivery, and order information, the Rub Grub connects to your local pizza place through its application programming interface.
I'd like the meat lovers.
Oh. Which is how two pieces of software communicate with each other. It's all about communication. The whole key here is communication. So whenever a person is done pleasuring themselves, they can order a pizza just by pressing a button.
You can do that now, too. If you have speed dial for your favorite pizza place. Really? I mean, come on.
Eliminate the middleman, I'm assuming. The vibrator will only be connected to Domino's at first.
Oh, well, forget it.
I bet they're proud.
That's the only way people will order Domino's.
Oh.
I'll say Domino's isn't bad.
It's not.
I know you sometimes go pick it up, which you're the only person I know who doesn't have a Domino's delivered to them.
It's the craziest thing, but there's one, on one of the nights that I play tennis, there's one on my ride home, and it's the easiest thing in the world when I'm done playing tennis to just call them and go, the usual, and then by the time I get there, it's there, and it's hot.
What's the usual? What's a Bill Left usual?
Black olives, mushrooms, and onions. Crispy crust.
That pretty crispy good. Crust.
Yeah,
what
I go crispy crust. That means they keep it in a little extra, and it's a little overdone.
That sounds really good.
Thank you.
And healthy.
Ask for when you call a pizza place, just go, yeah, the Bill Left usual. And I do it because there was no pepperoni or sausage during the war, because of the war. The vibrator will only be connected to Domino's at first. Now, I'm guessing, this is just a guess, you have to clear this with Domino's, don't you?
What do you mean?
Like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to come up with a product like this thing, this Rub Grub, don't you have to say to Domino's, when describing our product, we're going to use your product?
Well, of course. They want the business.
They just want the business. They don't care that it's something that's a little controversial, do they? They just they
if
look
it's
at
it's going to help them order pizza.
More sales.
I bet more young men want to be delivery men now. Right. I'll take this one.
Right. But it's 60 miles away.
That's
I'm okay
right.
with that. I'm fine
you
with that.
You can do the family. You can do the Bill Left usual.
Yeah.
I'll take this one.
This is mine. I call mine. The vibrator will only be connected to Domino's at first. But Cam Soda Vice President Darren Parker predicts that other national chains will jump on his product once they sense the buzz. What an interesting choice of words. I bet not by accident. The Rub Grub is a vibrator that allows users to order pizza thanks to a button connected to the internet. Domino's.
So does your phone. So
yeah,
you get an
I know.
App.
That's what I don't understand. What is this? I think what you're buying here is the novelty of it, right? Isn't
yes.
that what you're buying? Really, because you could do this on your phone very, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily. Domino's may be, it says here, may be a little touchy about being connected to a sex toy.
Puns are awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, the best. They are the best. A company spokesperson told Huffington Post that the chain knows nothing about the Rub Grub, but the device is able to order pizza from the chain.
Okay, whatever.
No, I added it myself. Because its API is public, this according to Parker. The Rub Grub solves a problem that few realized existed, he added. And then his, no, I can't, even on the internet, I can't describe this part.
But now wait, Domino's was unaware of it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That seems weird.
I think if you're them and you're going to say to people, right now it's only Domino's, but we're going to have this in all kinds of pizza places in a year, but right now it's only Domino's. I think if you're going to do that, you have to run it past Domino's first, right?
One would think.
I would imagine.
What's your number? 630-525.
What? Would you want crazy bread with this? I would.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I wish I knew if we could invest in this, because this seems like a surefire hit.
Well, there's
doesn't
a
it?
Way. Can't you just, you know, can't if you have Alexa in your room and you're doing this.
I don't want anyone
this,
in the room during this, Wendy. This should be a private time.
Yeah, but if you have Alexa, you could say, you know, Alexa, order a pizza.
Right.
So, I mean, this is stupid.
It's an extra add-on you don't need, right? It seems. Now, it says here in the story that Pizza Hut tried to do something similar but less sexual last year when it created a pair of basketball shoes called Pie Tops.
Oh, okay, that is really stupid.
Like High Tops, their product is called Pie Tops.
Really? You had to explain this,
well,
to me?
Well, just in case there's one person out there to go,
Pie Tops.
Pie Tops. That allowed a person to order a pizza just by pressing a button located on the tongue of one of the two tennis shoes.
All right, well, that is totally catering to a kid.
It is, isn't it?
And that's great, although, you know, I'd be spending probably $800 a year on pizza because
every day
they're tying their shoes
right. You'd accidentally hit it.
Who would turn down a pizza? I mean, honestly, even if you're hungry and a free pizza shows up,
right? Even if you're not hungry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wouldn't you just have a piece at
every
least?
Time?
Me too. That is one thing every single solitary time.
There have been times where Terry and I have gone out to dinner and we'll come home and then one or both of the girls have ordered a pizza and you go, well, I can't.
I know.
It's ridiculous. I'm not going to say no to a piece or to a pizza. It's
although,
right
are they finished eating by then? Because that is my biggest pet peeve in this life is when you order a pizza and you ask everyone who's at your house, you want some pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. You want some? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a really big one.
Yeah.
There are sometimes people who say, no, I really don't want any.
Right.
And I said, are you sure I'm going to get it? Because I know. No. I really don't want it. So you get a medium instead of a large, and then the pizza comes and
everybody changes their mind.
Oh, that you can't do that.
Right. Right.
You have to go with your original answer when someone says, do you want pizza? I would say yes, and then if you change your mind, wouldn't you rather have more than less?
Oh, always.
That is my biggest pet peeve in the world.
Have you ever had it where the pizza is delivered to your house and maybe your neighbors are outside and they see it, so then they just say, oh, good, pizza, we were starving, or words to that effect, like, oh, yeah, I ordered,
but you don't share with them.
No, and they don't expect you to, but it's just the thing you say. It's like if you're washing your car and your neighbors see you washing the car, they go, I'll pull mine up right behind, and everybody has a laugh.
Yeah, but and no one does. So, I mean,
no one ever does.
Have you ever given a piece of pizza to a neighbor?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I kind of run right in the house when it's delivered.
So. Yeah.
I go, hey, how's it going? Just, and you run right in.
Right.
Pizzas are not meant to be shared unless you have already calculated the number of people.
That's where it gets tricky. Because you're right, everybody all of a sudden, once they see it, they go, I didn't think I was hungry, but there it is.
And I say to them, are you sure? Because I know you're going to want some. Let me just get a big one.
No,
I swear. And I'm sorry, too, and maybe it's just me being a pizza hog.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that size pizza fits the number that it predicts. It says 4 to 5.
No,
there's no way.
Right. Order bigger. Bigger is better.
Yeah, because then you can have it for breakfast the next day.
It always holds up.
We ordered, there's a bunch of different Salerno's pizzas that have been around forever. They originally started in Berwyn, and much like Italian families, there becomes fights and people have their own version of it.
Oh. Within the Salerno family?
Yeah, it happened with Lou Malnati's and Paisano's. Yeah. I mean, all the, you know, Due and Uno. I mean, it just seems like, I know all families fight, but Italians don't like to share recipes. That's what it seems like being Italian.
Yep.
And so Salerno's, a 16-inch was not big enough for the four of us because we were all super hungry.
Yeah.
So then they have like a, I don't know what it's called, like a Big Papa or something like that.
That's the name of the pizza, is the Big Papa?
Something like that. Uh-huh. And it's like 3 feet. It's a rectangle.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like 3 feet. I didn't really picture the dimensions properly. So I ordered it and told Jimmy Mac to go pick it up. And he's like, thank God I have the Highlander because it wouldn't have fit in the regular car. And I said, oh, that's funny. He walked
it's
in.
That big.
It was ginormous.
Wow.
And then I felt really stupid for ordering that for four people. But I'll tell you,
meals
the next
for a
day.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Wouldn't you rather have two? I actually took a picture of it. It was so big, so we can.
But it doesn't fit on your screen on the phone.
It didn't. And I made the mistake
video?
Of. No. No.
It's not that big?
I didn't do video.
Oh.
But I made the mistake of taking a few pieces before I took a picture of it.
Oh.
But it really was kind of the best pizza ever because it was like a yardstick length.
Yeah.
By maybe 2 feet.
That's pretty good size. Now, I have found that if we order deep dish pizza or stuffed pizza, I'm good for two pieces.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll have a third, but then I'm too
very
full.
Rarely.
Like two is about right. But if we order a thin crust pizza,
eight.
I could go all day.
I am so with you.
I could just keep eating it and eating it and eating it. There's no stopping me.
Well, I just would like to know if anyone in the universe actually adheres to the number that they say it serves.
It's never right.
It is never right.
Nope. I don't know who's predicting that number, but they're always wrong.
Isn't pizza the best thing?
It's right up there. It's right up there.
Even
right.
During the war?
Well, during the war, they didn't have pizza, Wendy. They had to cut back on pizza during the war.
Seriously,
you know that. Yeah, they,
no.
They didn't have the ingredients back then because of the war. All right, we will do this. We'll take a quick break. I think Judy Pilak is off today. I think Eric Runge is filling in.
Rung.
Eric Rung. There's an E on his name. Does he not pronounce the E? I got to talk to him about that. You know, during the war, Wendy, if you had an E in your name, you better pronounce it. He's the star of Sorry Wrong Number, which is a podcast here on WGN Plus. Eric Rung will be filling in and doing the news, and then more fun. It's us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, WGN's Eric Rung.
WGN. Jude, I was surprised to read that on the days that Ed Farmer or Darren Jackson can't do a White Sox broadcast, that you'll be sitting in. That's
well,
very exciting news.
Absolutely.
I can't
Did
wait
you not
to
know
hear
I
that.
Was a play-by-play person?
No, I didn't know that.
Is that what
that.
They do? The play-by-play? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
play-by-play.
What I'll be doing. The play-by-play.
And color. Yeah, play-by-play.
It'll be things like this. Ooh, he can run.
Yeah, say
wow,
stuff like that.
Wow, what a hit.
Say wow, he's got a nice butt.
Mm-hmm.
Say what my mom used to say at Little League games. He made a nice hit.
He made a nice hit.
She also called our uniforms our costumes. She said, I have to wash your costume. I know you have a game tomorrow. And I'd go, you mean the uniform? Yeah, same thing, uniform
oh
and costume.
My gosh.
And she would call our practices, our baseball practices, rehearsals.
Oh,
she's
what
awesome.
Time is your baseball rehearsal?
You know what I did? I gave my son money when he was in a slump. I didn't care.
You gave him
I
money in a slump?
Him. Yep.
What, for
you
a hit?
You get a hit today, I give you $10.
$10 for a single?
Well, did I ever tell you my story? After I had my big operation when I had breast cancer and mm-hmm. I had my surgery. So I was kind of in a bad way, you know. All the stuff all over me still, all the, what were they called? Those hoses that go into your body.
Tubes?
Tubes, yeah, but what are they for? Is that terrible? I like to forget a lot of
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
anyhow, I was, yeah,
IVs.
IVs, but they, yeah, they were drains.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sitting there. My son comes, Luke comes out to me, and he's like, all right, Mom, bye-bye. I'm going to go to my game. I'm like, oh, you have a game today? He's like, yeah, it's a championship game.
Oh.
I was like, what? My cousin was taking care of me at the time. I made her take me to the game.
Oh.
And I sat there, and it's hilarious. So, bottom of the ninth, I think it was tied. Or it wasn't tied, whatever. They needed three runs.
Yeah.
Luke looks over at me. He's, you know, it's up to him, basically. He needs a hit.
Yeah.
And I do this, 50.
Like $50 if you get a hit.
$50. Maybe I did this. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, $50. I said, no, I'm sorry. I did this. I said 100. 100.
Oh, wow.
She's holding up all 10 fingers.
Yes, yeah. For a grand slam. That was it.
The bases were loaded. The team's down
right,
by three.
Grand slam, Luke.
Wow.
$100.
But just to hit 50?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I just said $100.
Okay.
Grand slam. Luke smacks that puppy. Of course, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It hits the fence, and he's running. He was so fast, and everyone runs in. Now it's tied. Luke's the tying run.
Oh,
Luke's the winning run.
Yeah.
And it's a championship game, so they had two refs.
Two umpires.
Okay, I knew I was going to mess
fine,
that up.
You're fine, you're fine.
Two umpires, and so like one at the plate and one, I don't know. With,
down the outfield line,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then, so one calls him safe and one calls him out.
What?
And they took the out one.
Well, it's... Oh,
first of all, his coach
it goes
went
to the,
ballistic.
It goes
yeah.
to the so home plate umpire. That's
I
who
feel
gets.
Like he's the one who called him safe, but obviously not then, if that's how it works.
Oh,
and
no.
You know, those umps, I mean, they were like 15.
Yeah.
So his coach is going ballistic. Poor, you know, are you kidding me?
Did you punch somebody?
Luke looks over at me and I said, 50.
Oh, so Judy, you still gave him something.
I
believe you bribed the wrong person in this story.
Yeah, you should have given the umpire.
The umpire should have got the $100.
Right?
Anyway,
I'm not about that.
Wow. Speaking of sports, I don't know if either of you are aware of this, but apparently one of the members of the Canadian ice hockey team, the women's team, who lost last night.
Right, we beat them.
The United States won. A very exciting game, a 3-2 match. So one of the players, a woman named Jocelyn Lacarreau, was given the medal, the silver medal. They do this ceremony where everybody's lined up, and they go person by person, player by player, and they say congratulations, you know, second place, silver medal.
Nice, everyone gets one.
So she gets hers on, and then within a second, just pulls it off, whips it off as if to say, I didn't come here to get a silver medal.
Well, screw you, Mr.
Shouldn't be in the Olympics, right? You should not be in the
Olympics.
That's
poor sportsmanship.
That's what everybody online is saying, what a horrible example this is.
That is.
Of poor. Now, I have to say, I understand.
So
I would not do this. I would not do this, but I understand.
I understand it, too. We all understand.
Whip it off in the locker room.
It sucks to lose.
Yeah.
But you know what? You lost.
Yeah.
And you're part of a team.
Right.
You know,
right.
You just suck it up.
Right.
Yeah, you
There's
lost.
There's no liqueur in team.
There is.
Or whatever her name is.
Lara Cohen. Team.
Oh, I was close.
The celebration and medal presentation for the women's hockey finals was definitely the cherry on top of an incredible gold medal game that will go down in infamy. A 3-2 U.S. victory over Canada in a shootout. But for those who noticed, which was everybody, during the silver medal awards, Canadian player Jocelyn Larocque couldn't get the second place medal off her neck quick enough. It wasn't around her neck for longer than a second before she yanked it off in disgust, like a butterfly-collared denim crop top.
All right.
I didn't write this.
Sounds like your vernacular.
I didn't write this. I know it looks like I wrote this.
Oh, that's good.
They then
And
give,
I totally understand that. I saw that.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Now, even me, a person who, I will be the first to admit, I'm way too overcompetitive. I would not have done this. I would have said, look, we came here to win. We didn't win. We came this close. I get it. I'll wear the silver. Take it off later in the privacy of my own locker room.
I mean, there's no controversy with the game, right? Everything
no,
was on.
It was on the up and up all the way.
It was fair and
through.
Square.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
yeah.
No, yeah. So she's just, well, maybe she was mad at herself, but you know.
I think it was a combination of being mad at yourself and
too
going.
Mad.
We,
exactly.
I
too
worked
mad
so hard to come this close, and we came to within one goal, right. One shootout goal.
That's right. You know what that's called? The Olympics.
It's the Olympics. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
shame
right.
on her.
Yeah.
I hate when people say that.
The shame on you part?
Yeah. Shame on
I
you,
I offer
Wendy.
You shame. Oh, I'll take some shame. The other Olympic story that bears some mention is that Kirstie Alley, who's not been in the news for a while, Wendy.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember the last time Kirstie Alley showed up in a news story.
Well, she had her little series.
Fat Actress.
Yeah.
The name of the show is Fat Actress. Yeah.
She's pretty funny.
She is pretty funny. Likes to make fun of herself.
Yeah.
But she sent out a tweet talking about how curling, the sport of curling, is boring. Here's the tweet. This was on February 20th. It's a short one. I'm not trying to be mean, but ... curling is boring. To which the U.S. curling team sent out a tweet saying that her movies are not riveting.
Well, they're both right.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
I love both of those tweets.
Because it is kind of boring, and if you're doing it, of course you don't think it's boring.
Right.
Adam Hoge, who's on After Us with Sports Central, has recently become a huge curling fan. In fact, he joined a curling league.
I didn't know that they had such a thing here.
Yeah, we've got curling all around the city now.
Is
yeah,
that right?
And in the
rooftops
suburbs
are doing it.
There was one in Naperville or something.
I think the problem with curling, and this is my problem, I don't understand it.
Well, that's right.
Once
so
you
we
understand
think it's
it,
stupid.
Right? And I don't think it's stupid. I think it's hilarious. When I'm doing the news, all the just TVs are on the curling,
yeah.
And I literally just start laughing out loud. I can't even hear it, but I'm like, when they go up and
it's,
they're trying to sweep or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, they're sweeping and brushing.
Or, yeah, brushing. Yeah, I am laughing.
It.
Like, what are they doing?
Right.
What was that? It wasn't Fractured Fairy Tales. It was something where there was a parade of people, maybe wacky races or something, and then at the very end, the little guy swept up after that. God.
I think that was the Funny Company.
It was the Funny Company.
Yeah.
And the little guy swept up afterwards.
It's
That's
the funny
what I
company,
think of.
You can join for free and kids of every neighborhood belong.
Oh.
That one.
Yeah. Yes, but then, the, right.
Oh.
But then the guy swept up at the end. That's what curling reminds me of.
Do you two hear yourselves?
Yeah, I know. Yes. Sound like lunatics.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm watching your faces. This is hilarious. This is better than curling.
Well, some people would say this is boring.
This should be an Olympic event. Is cartoon
you
reminiscing.
You should be. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You would win the gold every time.
Easily. I think part of the, because I keep trying to want to like the Olympics, and I always come up empty. And I think it's because...
You mean the Olympics overall?
Yeah.
Oh, I just love don't.
I
don't.
I haven't been
Olympics.
Watching. I start out excited
I watch every
about
night.
It. Really?
Every night.
But don't you think part of, for me anyway, it's in the sports I enjoy, I know the rules. So I know whatever's happening. I go, oh, all he needs to do is that, and they'll score 8 points. I get that. But with this, I don't understand the rules at all of any of those sports.
No, and I understand. And even some of the skiing events, I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone looks so unbelievably great to me, and then the one
low.
Who looks doesn't look that good, it wins. Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mom had what they used to call the old neighborhood. I know a lot of parents had this. It's whatever area they lived in, they referred to as the old neighborhood.
Where they grew up.
Yeah, where they grew up. So in my mom's old neighborhood, when we would go to visit either my grandparents or relatives that still lived in the old neighborhood, sometimes when we'd go there, there'd be guys playing bocce ball. And we would stop and we'd watch four guys play bocce ball for 20 minutes or so.
Love it.
And I would love it. And then I'd always go away going, I don't know what I just saw.
You try to get close to the little ball.
Yeah, but
if you're Italian, you play it at family picnics, you'd know the rules.
Bet.
So did you understand the rules?
No. Nope.
Because, well, then there goes your theory. You
not
just
at
said
all.
You don't understand, so it's boring.
Well, that's what I mean is I don't know what happened to me. Like, as a kid, I was
accepted
the game.
Right.
But now I can't. I don't have any tolerance for that if I don't understand it. And I know the solution is go online and read up on the rules.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? Let's take ice skating. You can't.
Well, I don't know how to judge, but I know how to look at it.
Right. You can't. Almost can't judge it. I don't. Unless you're a skater, you don't know what they're talking about. I love the new thing this year that they put the score up, so you have the high score, and then the person skating their score.
Yeah.
And there's a little flag, and it's going from yellow to red.
What does that mean?
It's doing the technical part. The second they complete a technical feat, the judges are you know, buzzing in, whatever. And so you could see the technical score going up, oop, a little bit down, yellow flag. They're going
to... Because they have to have so
they're
many
jumps. They're reviewing it a little
so
bit
many,
right.
Yeah.
And not only that, so I know what a triple axel is, but wow, you put that skate down 1 millimeter wrong,
it's
and they're
coming,
technical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Oh.
So again, even though I know the rules, it's still a little bit... frustrating because I'm like, why did she? What?
Right.
She nailed that. Nope, she didn't.
But
I don't know why. But
isn't
she didn't.
That based on the judge's interpretation?
No,
it's
really
not?
Not because the announcers, who by the way are hilarious this year.
Is it?
Tara Lipinski.
Tara Lipinski and Weir.
Yeah,
Johnny is a
Johnny Weir.
Yeah. He is so funny,
hilarious.
So
they
do
good.
All the sports are just
they're
skating.
Young, they're energetic, they're skaters. Yes, they will tell you that second. Oh,
they
almost.
Know.
Like, what do you mean almost?
No,
that was perfect. No,
but that to our eye, our untrained eye,
absolutely.
It looks great.
Or, that was, I'm like, oh, that was the most beautiful rendition.
Yeah,
it was pretty boring.
Really?
And they don't go that far, but they pretty much, they didn't really, you couldn't
they're
really
very
see their
honest.
Facial. Yes. They know skating. They know it. So that actually helps to listen
like
to them.
Like you do with broadcasting when other people broadcast. You
critique
them.
Yeah, you pick
them.
Up things.
Yes.
Right?
We think it sounds really good when other people do news, and then she'll be like, oh.
Yep.
Exactly.
They said
Walter
that wrong.
Cronkite, what
but besides all that, it's so disturbing that you say you don't like the Olympics, because I don't care about all that aside. Just the sheer amazing feats that these people do.
It is pretty amazing. Talk about athletes.
I can't even stay on skates. I like backwards. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah. How do hockey players do that? That's what I don't get.
Hockey players are crazy. They should just be go there and skate from one end to the other and be judged.
That's it. Yeah.
They get medals. I'd watch them.
It is pretty incredible, the outstanding athletic abilities of these people. You watch professional sports, and yeah, they're good at what they do, but this is different.
It is. The snowboarding? Are you... what? How do you get up there?
I know. I don't get
that
either.
And twist around, and it just is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are so fit.
Yeah, they are. Of course. Well, they're Olympians.
I kind of hate them a little
Jude.
Bit.
They're
yeah.
in the Olympics.
I mean,
they
no
have
fit.
To be.
Yeah.
There's no fit.
I hear they train for 4 years.
Yeah.
Whatever. They're so fit they don't need to wear a Fitbit.
They're like, really? I'm way beyond that.
This is nothing.
Their Fitbit blows up.
Mm-hmm. Last night, my wife was watching one of the skiing events, and it's the one where there's a bunch of poles or sticks, and then they have to go around them. But the guy kept hitting the pole, and I kept saying, oh, no, you hit the pole.
It's okay.
No, you're supposed to hit the pole. I go, no, you want to go around the pole. Why would you want to hit the pole? But I guess they do.
Yeah, I guess the closer they get to the edges, I don't know.
I would make it, if it was up to me, I'd go, if you hit the pole, you lose points.
Right?
But it's not that
way. You are not the Olympic Committee.
I know.
The IOC.
I'm not the IOC.
And tell me, do you know when they go down those sleds that look like little cars?
Yeah.
The luge?
Not the luge. I think it's called something else that was on the other day. There's two people in it.
Toboggan?
Bobsled?
No, bobsled maybe. I would call it the toboggan.
Saucer? Do they do saucer racing?
Well, and they're going down a path that's...
Bobsleigh
maybe,
yeah.
So they're steering that, right? Because how are they even steering that thing?
I don't know.
And what's the person in back doing?
There has to be some...
I know, please explain it to me. You don't know?
Oh, boy.
But this is the genesis of my problem is there's too many unanswered questions. I know when I watch a baseball game or a tennis match,
right.
I know the rules. With this, like, things happen, and then I go, oh, that's bad. And then my wife goes, no, that's good. And then other things happen. I go, that's great. She goes, no, they lost because
but
of that.
It starts a conversation. It's all good.
Yeah. And it's just cool to watch.
It is. It's just cool. I don't care. I can be dumb and look, and I'm still happy.
You're not dumb.
Which country are you rooting for?
Bill is dumb.
I want Chad to win.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember?
And I hate the thing, the gold medals, too. It's kind of sad who has the most. I mean, you have a country like, I don't know.
But what's
whatever.
Isn't it four Norway?
People. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, you only have four
people. Leading, right?
Yeah.
And followed
by Germany, I think.
Yeah. But
and
Norway
they have
is,
nine. Gold medal.
Oh, that's good.
I love German
See,
Olympic humor.
Works.
This is
it's
all fantastic. Brought to you by the Olympics.
Yes.
But you don't, I mean, remember the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Sure.
Don't you kind of watch sometimes also to see them mess up? I don't hope that happens.
I know, I'm shaking my head. Yes.
I don't hope it happens because I feel so bad for them when it happens.
Right.
But it does, it's live and it's happening. And
yes,
it's,
and like in skating the other night when our girl fell, I literally out loud,
I know.
Oh, even if it's any country.
Right.
When you fall, it's terrible.
I know, it just breaks my heart that you don't land on your jump and it's...
Yeah.
I mean, not that I watch for that, but that's kind of the excitement of it to see it, because it's live.
But I always say that about car racing, and people always tell me I'm wrong, but I say, I think most people that enjoy auto racing are kind of hoping there's a mishap.
They want to crash?
Yeah.
I don't know, because
you know,
those people
awful.
Die in the
Isn't
crashes.
Isn't there always a crash?
There's not always a crash, but there's always some incident. And I
like when one cuts the other one off, and then they, go after the other car, and maybe somebody gets out of the car. There was some... Adam Hoag's in next. I'm sure he has the answer to this, but somebody got out of the car. Do you remember there was like a...
During an auto race?
Yeah, there was a mishap. Somebody got pushed off the track, and so he got out to go after him and ended up getting hit.
Oh, yeah, got hit and killed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he died.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they were... And Tony Stewart, I believe, was involved in this.
Yeah.
And Tony Stewart hit him, and there was a court.
If he got out of his car, what was he hoping to accomplish?
It was road rage. I mean, if you're going to get road rage, you're
going
to get it in a NASCAR race.
Car that had also stopped, and he got hit by another car.
And people were saying Tony Stewart did it on purpose, but I mean, I'm sorry.
I literally see. Yeah, it was an accident.
Wow.
I'd
never heard of any of
this. I'm married to a NASCAR fan, NASCAR dad.
Aren't they a different breed, too?
But he just likes watching it. You know what I mean?
Well, and I say that because the people who are the fans who I find out, I'm like, you're really?
It seems confusing. Yeah. Yes.
And they love that racing. It's a speed thing. I get it. I totally get it.
I kind of like watching
it. I'm going to go 1 year. I got to go 1 year to the
Indy 500. He went to Talladega and was in the center area. I don't know what it's called.
And everyone prays to baby Jesus there.
In the middle. They tailgate in the middle of it.
It's Indianapolis 500.
I don't know. When I was doing stand-up, I was working in Indianapolis, and it was nowhere near the time of the race. Like, the race was 6 months ago, and then the other one was going to happen in 6 months. And they go, well, hey, we'll take you down to the track. And I go, oh, is the race going on? They go, no, it's in 6 months, but you can walk around.
The infield.
Why would I want to do that?
Because it's pretty awesome. It's huge. It's
And then you go out there.
You have no curiosity, no wonder, do you?
No, it's not that.
If it's not about tennis, you don't care?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
A tennis court's really exciting to look at. No one on it.
But that's what I mean.
But it's a track is pretty awesome, and I use that word appropriately. It's big.
I'm leaning toward Bill on this one.
There's nothing I could possibly have seen there that I would go, wow, was that cool? I got to see pavement, and then there was grass next to it. I see that every day.
I would look at it just because I would go, wow, it's way bigger than I thought it was.
I mean, there is a track and there's stands and but maybe you'll hear, maybe while you're standing there, you'll hear the,
yeah, but no one's there.
I said, can you pour Valvoline all over me so I get the full effect of this?
You still hear it because.
I want to smell like motor oil.
We could put you in a jumpsuit. Maybe
that's what I want. Okay. I want to be in a jumpsuit and smell like 10W-40. Could we do that, please?
Can you imagine? Oh, I forgot to put that tire on. All right, well, good luck.
Yeah,
you know how to make that sound. You could have. No. And the rivet. See, you could have just gone and done
Made
that,
noises.
And you would have had a great time. Who needs cars?
Think of the fun.
They got you.
I could have brought Hot Wheels and just moved them around the
track. Where did you learn those? You obviously watch.
I went to the Motor Speedway. Is that in Joliet?
There is one in Joliet.
Yeah, and we saw a race going on. I don't remember, you know, the names of the people because it wasn't NASCAR. It was, I don't know the difference.
Funny cars?
No,
they have them all. I have a cousin who's big. He works for some Dubai prince who owns.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he does for a living.
This was an IndyCar thing, which is different than NASCAR. Yeah. And we were right near the pit. We were on pit row, and you could see the cars coming in to get new tires, and you heard that. It was so loud. It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Why are funny cars called? They're not funny at all. There's nothing funny about
it. Oh, yeah, the Undertaker's car, the hearse. That's funny.
I've seen the Undertaker.
They make you laugh?
Yeah.
What's that thing they did at Rosemont, too? I took my kids to all the
demo
time.
Demolition Derby?
With the big trucks.
The monster trucks.
Monster trucks.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we had to leave because you couldn't breathe after a while, but it was
the
so cool.
Fumes.
Oh, my gosh. It was really terrible. But, oh, God, did I love those cars.
What other entertainment event could you say that about? We had to leave because we couldn't breathe after a while.
Where were you? The opera, the ballet?
And then I went one time to a wrestling, you know, like WrestleMania, and I had to leave because I couldn't.
Ooh, yeah.
I couldn't look at one more grown man with the championship belt around his neck that he had purchased for $90,000.
That is very gaudy anyway.
And it's fake. Hey, it's fake, dude.
I got to give one away, one of those belts.
But let me tell you, it was extremely exciting.
Sure.
Very, very.
No one's
Undertaker was there. His car came. It was crazy.
Jude,
they were driving cars in.
We must take a break because Adam Hoge will not be denied his chance at the airwaves. He will not be denied.
Thanks, Jude.
Thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll find out what Adam has coming up on Sports Central next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.